Friday, September 9th, was a low-key day with a fair amount of achievements. A complete checkup by Dr. Jim Kane in the morning, a fitting on my dress for the opera for Mr. Stavropoulos, a lovely ivory chiffon that may look out like I ought to have my portrait done in it, if it succeeds. Then a talk with Liz about the script for Lucy's wedding and about the book by Jim Bishop.
And then
down into the Rose Garden, where Lyndon is signing the auto safety bill. And there I picked up a rather delightful adventure. Juanita put in my hands a note. Three nuns, Sister Mary Teresa, Sister Mary Amy, and Sister Mary Frances, who had not emerged into the world for 45 years, had come to watch the ceremony. To my delight, they remembered me almost like old friends. They were from Beth Jenkins' school, where I had made her graduation speech. I took them over to the White House for a special tour. It turned out they'd already been through. So we sat and chatted in the diplomatic reception room. And then I had the guide take them up to the Lincoln Room and the Queen's Room, which they had not seen. They were so happy, and I was so pleased to do something for somebody whose pleasure was so obvious. Then I wound up my day of health checkup by going to see my old friend, Dr. Turchin, and stopping on the way out to meet Senator Maxime Young of Ohio, who brought me some orchids from the Democratic clubs she represents. I promised to have a picture made and send them to her. I talked to Dr. Kane on the phone. All the reports were good. I was in excellent health. And then I had a little nap. I find myself exhausted from these late nights, 12:30, 1:30, 2, when I'm with Lyndon, and then up at 7. I cannot adjust my days to have an afternoon long nap. I'd invited some of the new ambassador's wives to tea. I hope by meeting them in small groups of not more than 6, we can win through the thicket of obstacles, difference in language, difference in cultures, to some sort of feeling we know each other. Mrs. Rusk and Mrs. Symington brought them up. They were Mrs. Adamu Mayaki of Niger, silent and composed in her sheer blue native costume called a boo-boo, I think. Mrs. Tun Nguyen of Burma, whom I'd seen only the night before in the Yellow Room, who had practically no English. Mrs. Amin Hussein of the Sudan, dignified and reserved. Mrs. Kam Kang Suvan Lassie of Laos, young, beautiful, that extraordinary femininity of the Eastern woman that makes us of the West feel like gangling horses. Mrs. Fernando Ortuño of Costa Rica, dark, bright, speaking English, thank heavens. And the savior of the afternoon's conversation, Mrs. Albert Edgar Ritchie of our neighbor Canada. There were also 2 translators and Bess. We took up our seats in the West Hall, and I really worked at it, bringing out my little wares of hospitality brightly. Another cup of tea. These are grapes from my own arbor. Happy reminiscences of our trip to Campo Bello. Bless Mrs. Ritchie, she was into the conversational breach with a good anecdote whenever needed. I did bring a smile to Mrs. Ortuño with my attempts at Spanish. A smile, I hope, and not a laugh, but I felt I'd made contact. Where were you stationed before you came to Washington? I do hope you'll see some of our country, besides just New York and Washington. And finally, I wonder if you would like to see the rest of our family part of the house, the dining room, the yellow oval room, the Lincoln room, the Queen's room. The tea lasted well over an hour, and I did have the feeling that it was a pleasurable occasion, something for them to write home about. But it was heavy going, and I felt that I'd been carrying a load, though one I enjoyed carrying. After they left, Liz and I had a session on the California trip. These trips devour not the 3 or 4 days that one is actually on them, but hours of preparation, a full briefing on what Point Reyes is like, projection of how I would feel about it, so Sharon and Liz and Charlie Boatner can try to write a speech draft. My memories of Santa Fe. And I feel I can be really lyric about the scenic highway in Southern California that winds between the mountains and the Pacific. I'd ask Leonard Marks and Max Brooks to come up and see the library model that's on the 3rd floor in Linda's doll room. I took them up and listened to Max's explanation. I want to get from Leonard all of the help, the imagination, the planning I can on the audiovisual portions of the library. He should have, in his vicinity, some good graphic artists also. And very importantly, he has the understanding and the interest in Lyndon. It was 7:30 when we finished. I went over to wait at Lyndon's office for our trip to Blair House for the return Burma reception given by the Ne Wins. This one turned out to be a most delightful reception. Not the usual obstacle course through a crowded hotel banquet room, but a quiet and pleasant visit on the sofa and a group of comfortable chairs in a lovely living room at Blair House. Yeah. General Ne Win and Madam Ne Win immediately extracted us from any possible receiving line that might have formed. We sat down and drinks and caviar appeared. We talked about that day. She'd had a lovely trip on the Sequoia down the Potomac. She gave me a beautiful bracelet of blue sapphires, stones of Burma, for Linda Bird. She delivered the best accolade any state visit can have when she said it's been a fun visit. And indeed, they'd made it so. Their gay greetings to guests, many of whom had called her Kitty, first names seldom are used in state visits, gave a feeling of informality. They showed us pictures of their children and of their catch on a fishing expedition. She was an exceedingly feminine woman who often turned the conversation toward her husband, but in whom I felt considerable strength. Bob and Margie McNamara joined us in the group, and then Henry Fowler took their place, and then Ambassador and Mrs. Takeuchi. And then we strolled a while through the salons and dining room of Blair House, staying in all about an hour, setting quite a record for a return visit, I think. Except, of course, for the Indian one. Lyndon was back at his office at about 8:40, and I quickly changed clothes and went bowling. Two swift games for exercise and fun, and then some work. It was 10:40 before Lyndon came to dinner, and we had a reasonably early bedtime.